We're celebrating 40 years of listening, and we're ready to listen some more.
Nikki Bush, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am very, very well. First time I'm seeing you live and in the flesh this year. It's so good to have you back.
Thank you. And have you survived the first week of school?
You know what? Just barely. I'm hanging on by the skin of my teeth. But it was lovely. It was lovely catching up with old friends. I think you don't realize how much of a community you actually form with the other parents as well, right?
That's exactly what I was thinking as you said it. Yeah. You know, we're social beings and we thrive on community. We thrive on interaction with other people. And that is one of the major reasons why our children actually go to school. Because they get socialized in a larger group.
Absolutely, yeah.
And they learn their place. Mm-hmm. They make friends. They learn to build relationships and they learn how to maintain relationships. And what you're talking about is you've gone back to the same school for another year.
Yep.
And you've picked up with those old relationships, the friendships that were started a year or two ago. And that's an important lesson for children to learn. So when you read my book, Future Proof Your Child, written with Dr. Graham Codrington and published last year, there are five key X factors for success in the future world of work.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is being part of a team.
Collaborative work,
mm-hmm. being part of a community, knowing how to create relationships, build them, and mm-hmm. maintain them.
Yeah.
So never underestimate the socialization value of going to school, let alone all the academic and extracurricular and other things that we talk about every day. We often don't talk about friendships. We talk about bullying, but we don't talk about the friendships.
The friendships, you know, with the children, with the parents. And also, you know, you find yourself, of course, connecting with other kids as well and tracking that growth and having conversations with those kids, whether or not they're friends with your own child.
Absolutely.
But, you know, you're like, it's quite a nice little community, an extension of family, I think.
And you know what's, definitely an extension of family. And I do a lot of presentations and talks and workshops for staff development, teacher development as well. And one of the things that I talk about is that children actually often spend, especially in preschool and primary school, more hours in a day with their teacher than they do with their parents.
Of course.
So the teacher is the extension of family when children are not at home.
Yeah.
Which means he or she is a critical part of your child's life.
Mm.
And we need to show our children how we build solid, good relationships with teachers too.
Yeah.
And that begs the question of what if you don't get on with the teacher? What if your child doesn't like the teacher? What if your child hasn't got the teacher they want?
And all those things are very, very possible and they happen all the time. And when your child doesn't get the teacher that they want, or you in fact don't actually like your child's teacher, this is where diplomacy kicks in and you have to pay put on your big girl pants and, you know,
deal with it
so that your child thrives in the classroom irrespective of, you know, your own feelings.
So teaching children respect for others. And also there's this thing, and it's something that I talk about in depth with teachers, is the annual hot potato in a pre and primary school particularly is which class am I going to put this child in next year? So the teacher agonizes over the class lists and the recommendations for the following year. They don't do it without thought.
Yeah.
They try and get the best match. We as parents have an opinion about every teacher our child might possibly get, whether we have met them or not.
Yeah.
Because the power of the grapevine, word of mouth, is incredible.
Word of mouth amongst kids as well is quite strong. I've been having conversations with my little one about, so which teacher do you hope you'll get, right?
Yes.
And, well, this teacher's like this and this one is like this. This one is very strict. Oh, I'm nervous about her. You know, and they talk amongst themselves even at that very young age, grade one and grade two.
And this is exactly why when I speak to teachers in these staff development workshops, I talk about brand teacher, brand you. Every teacher is a brand of one, and people talk about them. In fact, teachers have a seat at our dinner table every single night. Our child's primary teacher has a seat at our dinner table, whether they know it or not.
Absolutely.
And it's very, very important that we as parents actually support the teacher that our child gets. And often what we think is going to be a bad match lands up being the best possible match.
Yeah.
We don't always understand the dynamics in the classroom and how our child is at school.
Mm,
we only
true.
See one side of our child. So give the pairing the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, give it a chance.
And if you have a problem with it, do not discuss it with the teacher in front of your child. You need to make a private appointment.
Yeah,
otherwise, you are going to destroy that relationship and it will be irreparable.
You know, you say this and immediately it sounds like a no-brainer, but obviously it happens. Yeah.
It happens.
You know, what's really, really key and interesting? And Nikki, we've not even broached the topic we're meant to be talking about this morning. But what's really key for me and interesting, and I wonder how many parents do this, right? Which is to, if you are able to put your child in a private school, or you have, you know, the luxury of choosing, picking and choosing your school, do you look at the culture of the school and say, these are the values that I want my child to learn, right? How important or how high up does that feature? Because I was talking about extension of family, but once that school culture fit is right, then most oftentimes it takes care of so many things, like who are the kids going to be like, be in the school? What are the teachers going to be like in the classroom, et cetera, you know?
Yeah, so culture is something that we should be looking at. You know, you walk into a school and they have all these open days. And a lot of it is about the facilities.
Mm.
So does it have an IT lab?
And
does
marks.
It have an auditorium? Yeah. And what are the matric results? I mean, that's a big marketing, ploy, is how many distinctions did this school produce? But and while open days are fantastic, I think it's, and I know schools are going to hate me when they hear what I say here. If you can be at a school on a normal day.
Yeah.
Where you see things happening in a normal way, you can gauge the happiness of the children in that school. On an open day, there are no children there.
Mm.
You know, you're looking at a shell. You're looking at a facility.
Yeah.
So some schools do open days, like every Wednesday morning, where you get to walk through a school while it's happening. You can see the teachers and how they respond to the children. You can see the looks on the children's faces. You can pick up the energy.
Yeah.
And of course, yes, you ask about the values and the culture. And, it'll be different for every school because they stand for something.
Yes, yes, yes.
Some schools are very big on volunteering. There's a school that I know well where they talk about raising children with heart.
Mm-hmm.
And they do.
Yeah.
And when you see what they do with these kids, it's obvious.
Mm.
And then you may have, you know, the monastic school, single-sex school,
yeah,
versus the co-ed school. You've got the schools of faith. I spoke at one of them last week to the staff. It's very different because a school of faith has a very specific set of values because they are directed by the faith that they, ascribe to. So all of that, you know, you've got to be comfortable with that as a fit for your family.
Yeah.
But this does not mean, and I'm really serious about this, that you as a family don't have to set your own values.
Of course, of course, of course.
No, it's
of course you're not.
We say of course.
You can't abdicate those responsibilities.
But people do.
Yeah.
Rafael, why I'm raising it. People do.
Mm.
And a teacher's job has become so huge today.
Yeah, that mandate is vast.
Because they're not just educating children. Parents are abdicating values to teachers.
Mm.
They're abdicating religion to teachers. Mm. They're abdicating in the younger age group, potty training, solids, all of that.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
All right, let's pull ourselves towards ourselves and let's get down to business, what we came here for, which is back to school, right? Managing the back to school bombshell, a morning madness and suicide hour. Let's talk about it, Nikki.
Yes, so morning madness is, it kind of is like a disease. it's sometimes you wonder if you're the only family in the world who suffers from morning madness.
Yes.
But the weird thing is that I think if we were to put a camera in all our best friends' homes in the morning, especially the first couple of weeks of school,
yeah,
we would discover that even those families are infected by morning madness. And it's far worse in winter, let me tell you.
Yes, of course. It makes sense.
Yes.
Who wants to get up out of bed and get changed? And, yeah.
Okay. But the cure for morning madness that I worked out over the years is that, firstly, you must get ready the night before.
Yes.
Morning. The morning doesn't start in the morning. It starts the day before.
Yeah.
Okay. So some of that preparation that one has to do, which is really about teaching children personal organization skills, get the children to pack their bags the night before. Make sure everything is in those bags. Now we get to that big question of if they forget something, what are you going to do about it? You already have to have that plan in your head. Are you going to run to school and deliver it, or is your child going to suffer the consequences
well,
of their actions?
I grew up not having the second option because dad and mom are already at work. So, yeah, you learn fast not to forget.
Probably made you a very responsible child at a very early age. Mm. Sign off homework books the night before. Pack as much of the lunchbox as you can the night before and leave the sandwiches for the morning because they must be fresh and not stale and mushy. And maybe your juice bottles. What I used to do is the fridge was full of, especially in this heat, of bottles of water and juice bottles the night before so they would be nice and cold.
Mm.
And then you didn't have to stand there filling them in the morning. Ensuring the kids must put their school clothes out, polish their shoes, do all those things. And then if you're a mother like me who dished out vitamins in the morning, I used to do them all the night before and put them in little ramekin dishes in front of, each plate. And I laid the breakfast table the night before, which was just a pile of bowls and plates and the cereal and all that stuff. And then in the morning, there's two things. Switch off the television.
Are we watching in the morning?
Yes, we are.
Really?
Yes, we are. Ask me. I've been on a morning TV show for years. I know how many millions of people watch that show.
No, I mean, as in like, you know, you get, kids are, it's are background. Kids in front of the TV?
Yes, often they are. Kids will be woken up and will be put in front of television with their cereal or their toast.
Oh.
Okay. Or the other thing is 24-hour news reporting that's on in the background. And that's the one that I find is the one that really throws people off track.
Mm.
You think you're not watching. You think your kids aren't watching. You think it's just on in the background. But people are actually being distracted. So you want to take away distraction so that kids focus on, because they can hardly remember their names in the morning.
Mm.
They've got to focus on, I've got to get up. I've got to go for my shower. I've got to clean my teeth, wash my face, get dressed, make my bed, get to the breakfast table. If they are now being distracted by stuff that's on a screen, and even the radio, think about how many ads there are in between 6 and 6:30 in the morning, or 5:30 and 6 in the morning. There's a lot of ads in between our editorial as well. A lot of distraction.
That is prime time.
It's prime time. Mm. So we are actually, so try and pick, here's something that could be fun for the morning. Pick a family get up and go song, a happy song.
Mm.
And if you've got more than one child, everybody gets to pick a different song, and maybe each day is that person's song. You know that one, I'm So Happy?
Mm.
You know, those kind of fun songs where everyone can sing to it as they're getting ready. I think of some of the coffee shops and takeaways where they have those little team chants.
Mm.
You know, there's something about that that brings us together and on purpose.
Yeah.
And how about finding a family song for a get up and go in the morning? I think that will do you much more good than listening to the terrible news in the morning that can throw your children off base and create fear, even if they don't understand the words. So the other thing in the morning,
I definitely always have the radio on in the morning. And for me, it's a great way to plug in, right?
Yes.
And check the pulse, obviously. Yeah.
Absolutely. But, you know, you could be listening to the news on your own without your child.
Mm.
I would caution, if we have preschoolers and primary school children, against listening to the news on the way to school. And it's just because negativity does impact on your child's brain frequency ratios. And it's not to say we keep everything away from our children. But going back to how we started this conversation about teachers, our children are generally arriving at school quite freaked out. And it takes a teacher in the first lesson of the day up to 20 minutes to calm children down sufficiently to actually educate them. Teachers are having to implement strategies of playing music below heart rate, which is below 80 beats per minute, just to bring children down. They've freaked out over what they've heard over the news, and they can't verbalize it because they don't even understand the news necessarily.
So we had a conversation about this last year sometime, and were you talking about studies having been done in this regard?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Exactly. So that your state of mind as a parent, how calm you are in the morning, how organized you are in the morning, will impact on your children. Right. The less stressed you are, the calmer you are, the better, and the more together the household will be. We actually set the emotional temperature.
Yeah, we absolutely do. Let's talk suicide hour. Uh-huh. Why is it called this?
Why is suicide hour called suicide hour? Well, it's the end of the day. It's that kind of 5 to 6 o'clock in the day, in the afternoon, when children become more demanding and needy because they're tired, they are hungry, they are thirsty, and if you've been working all day, they are in desperate need of your attention. So every hot button is on. Siblings start fighting with each other. Hysteria lies just below the surface for many children. Mm-hmm. And often at that time of the day, children are taken to the shops to buy last minute groceries. And that's where you see children having meltdowns and tantrums in the shops. Children confuse being tired, hungry, and thirsty. And in general, at that time of the day, they're not fun to be with. Mm. And at the same time, you, having had a long day as an adult, are irritable, snappy, moody. You're not really listening when your kids are speaking. And so you often say, what did you say? And then they say, but I already told you.
Mm.
So there's that kind of tension that lies underneath the surface. We are all kind of in that efficiency mode just to get the day done.
Sorry, in my mind, I just thought to myself, I dare any of our listeners to send through an SMS and tell me what would have happened to you if you ever told your mom, but I already told you.
Well, let me tell you, children tell their parents
31702. That side eye, other things, yeah.
So I don't think we are fun to be with at that time of the day either. So it's a little bit like putting oil and water together.
Mm.
But we being the leaders, the adults, the authority, we're the ones who need to create mayonnaise out of the oil and water.
Mm.
We're the ones who need to throw the egg and the mustard and the tasty stuff in and whip it all up to create some kind of friendly, tasty mayonnaise. Often what we do at this time is we throw our children in front of a screen because we know that'll shut them up.
Mm.
They'll be less demanding and they'll sit in one place and not make a mess. So how do we turn this around? Because if you're a full-time working parent, it's kind of like your second job of the day has begun.
Absolutely.
At 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
When you're tired.
Mm.
Not ideal. Okay. So what we need to do is get our heads in the right space. Otherwise, we're going to land up doing endless disciplining of our children. And that's what we don't want to do at this time of the day. So when you're driving home, commuting from work, reconnect with yourself. Okay, breathe, take a few deep breaths, listen to something different that doesn't sound like work. Relax the tension in your body, lift those shoulders, wiggle your toes, shake your hands, get back into yourself. Eat and drink. Do not get home hungry or thirsty yourself. You're already tired, so take the hunger and the thirst away.
And don't go into that mall.
And don't go to the mall. Preferably, try not to do the mall on your way home or with your children in the car when you've picked them up from aftercare.
Yeah.
It's not your ideal thing. So consciously refocus your mind away from work and towards your children and start getting excited to see your children. The look on your face when you first see your children speaks 1,000 words.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's a mirror of how you feel inside. So children, especially young ones, are often slightly angry with you when they first see you because they've been away from you for so long and they don't have the words to say it, so they act it out.
Mm.
Change out of your work clothes. Now, this is a really cute thing. And we can leave the product, by the way. We can leave the product for next week if you want to, if you want to continue with this.
Let's carry on.
What I found when I was a mum of young children was I would walk back into the house in my smart jacket, high heel shoes, makeup, all efficient and all the rest. And I remember my eldest at the age of 3 said, go put play clothes on, mummy. Go put your play clothes on. So ditch the jacket, throw the high heel shoes off.
And signal that you're ready to engage with me.
You're changing state.
Yes,
that's really what it is. And here's a tip. If you've got children in preschool and primary school, get physical.
Mm.
Lie down on the floor and shut up. Don't ask them how their day was. Let them crawl all over you, walk all over you, play with your hair, tickle your face. They actually just want to connect with you.
Mm.
And if you actually spend the first 10 minutes reconnecting rather than getting straight into the kitchen, cooking the dinner, saying what's happening with the homework, you will get a much better response because you are being invitational. You are connecting. And if you're going to be in the kitchen, invite them in to do those things with you because they've been away from you all day. Their deepest desire is to be with you, to hear your voice, to smell you, to be with you. So do that.
You're talking about these various scenarios and I can relate to every single one of them. And I can also just deeply connect with the pain of going, of picking up a kid, getting home, and actually you need to get through the next 2 hours really, really quickly, because you know what? There's a looming deadline, and when that kid goes to bed,
you're going
to
work.
I
know.
You need to work.
I've been doing that for years.
Difficult to relax 3 hours. And unplug. It is so difficult.
It's very hard because we are kind of, our minds are in two places at once.
Yeah.
And our kids actually get that. So it's the art of presence. And that's what I do in my Parenting on the Run workshops for parents, is I teach how to be truly here right now.
Yeah.
In my 5 minutes, my 10 minutes, when I'm cooking, when I'm bathing my kids, how to ditch everything else to just be here right now. It's an art.
I think also just co-parenting and having a partner that you can just say, today is just not the day. Please take over.
Exactly.
You do this tonight.
You know what?
You know?
You've hit the nail on the head, and that's why single parenting is so hard. Mm. Parenting is, in essence, a team sport.
Absolutely.
And it's so much easier when you have a partner, whether it be a spouse, husband, wife, a romantic partner, or whether it be your parents who live with you and help with the children, or a domestic helper or an au pair, to be able to honestly say, today I'm on a deadline, can you step in for me, is better than you actually trying to do two things at once and not doing either very well.
Yeah. All right, guys, there you have it. We spoke about morning madness and suicide hour and how to avoid them. And essentially, planning is so key. Right? Routine is so key. And of course, just being honest with yourself and being present.
Absolutely. And all of this is in my Back to School Sanity Savers ebook that's available on nikkibush.com.
Yeah. Lovely stuff. Nikki, we'll chat to you again next week.